Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
Picard, the Borg consume. They assimilate. They don't ask to be assimilated.
Dr. Jurati.
I think caution is warranted, but everything about this is unique. The Borg we know have been effectively decimated, functionally hobbled.
So wouldn't it stand to reason that they change tactics?
Absolutely. Victory through whatever means necessary and in the absence of strength, deception.
But we could be putting a bullet into the greatest ally the Federation may ever know.
Precisely.
I don't believe what I'm hearing. The Borg have wiped out entire races, killed tens of millions, including my parents, subjugated exponentially more.
Yes, I understand.
I know this sounds cold, but just hear me out. If I'm wrong, we destroy a Borg ship. But if I'm right, and we do nothing, then today is the beginning of the end of the Federation.
Picard is like the weirdest fucking Star Trek show ever. It's like Star Trek, like, taken in a different direction.
It's interesting because, like, for example, when he was talking with Guinan, and she's talking about the people he dates, right? And he's talking about how, like, there are always people that are going to leave.
Programming, like programming note, this is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Well, it was like the...
Episode 119.
Well, he's talking... Well,
he dated that girl from Ryza.
Like. Yeah, and I think Guinan was basically pointing out, like, you do this on purpose. You date people that are going to leave, so you don't... So you always have an out. And the thing is that really what he was doing, or was it just a convenience for the episodic nature of the show? You know what I mean? Like, were they kind
yeah.
of... And it was because...
Maybe that's an in-joke.
If Picard was the way he was, in part due to the episodic nature of the show where he didn't have long-term relationships, if that was part of it, then is this a minor retcon by her saying, no, actually, you have childhood trauma or whatever? Well, she didn't say that, but that's what we're led to believe. Anyway.
Guinan's got a scratchy voice now.
Do you think that's a retcon to say that Picard had some weird trauma where apparently his mom got dragged away by some monster, crazy monster
yeah,
scene?
Was that his mom? Because that was fucked up.
Yeah, she dragged away. Like, it wasn't even like a person dragged her away. It was like some tentacles or something like...
That girl was on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Grapevines. I didn't know that. Grapevines come to life.
And other stuff.
I didn't know that. Oh, maybe it was the... Maybe it was grapevines. Okay. Maybe it was... There's possessed... They have a possessed...
Was it the grapevines?
What was it called? What's it called where the grapes are?
Vineyard.
Vineyard. I kept wanting to say orchidry.
No, orchidry is what causes murders in Midsummer Murders, or at least in that one episode. I think it was in the seventh
Hamlet is
it. Do they really say something about an orchidry?
No, but there's somebody imports an illegal orchid into England, and then the flower collectors get wind of this, and whoever owns the orchid, like, that's one of the, there's the most murders in that episode of almost any Midsummer Murders, because whoever ends up with the orchid soon after gets murdered
for it. Is it a black orchid?
Are they serious or kidding? Or kid.
Were is they there a joke in there?
Or
is there
kid.
A pun in there?
Is there a joke?
Are they perennial or kidding? Are they serious or kid? Or kid?
A kid is a young goat. What are you talking about?
So,
or kid. Or kid.
Oh,
is that what
or
you're
kid.
Doing?
No. Oh, okay.
Dude.
So anyways, so do you think that they purposely wrote Picard and TNG as this character that was really... he was. But do you think they did that on purpose? Do you think they tried to make him inaccessible in that way on TNG? Because now they're dealing with... That's what... This goes along with what you were saying, Jesse, because it is a weird show. It's like exploring, like, Picard's sort of emotional states and stuff like that, you know?
They do stuff that doesn't happen in other Star Trek shows.
Yeah, and I do think that they did, to some degree, write Picard as having a particular attitude that limited his desire maybe to have relationships with people.
Well, and that's why it was humorous when he had to deal with kids and when Loxana, like, when she would hit on him, that was humorous because he got all awkward, and then kids make him awkward. So yeah, that there was and they did play on that.
He was nervous about getting together with the Astro.
Well, Wesley tried to sit in his chair. He didn't like Wesley.
The Astrometrics gal, you know, who, and they seem to have a very nice relationship. But
in the later season that one.
Yeah. Is it pronounced Waxana or Loxana?
Waxana.
But there's an L in it, so it's like
Loxana. Troy.
Loxana.
Loxana Troy. Anyway. No, but my point being that Cisco is shown to develop a long-term relationship that is functional.
Yeah.
Kirk is, even though the stereotype is a little overdone, is a bit of a Lothario who enjoys women.
It makes more sense.
He's a player. He plays.
It makes more sense.
But then, of course, there's Carol Marcus, with whom Kirk has David.
Okay.
Who is then... gets in a little trouble.
I was going to say it's a little different with Cisco because the nature of the show is they're on a space station, so they're not traveling. Space. They're more they're stationary.
Deep space.
On the stationary. Deep space. Stationary.
We don't see a lot of information, but one if you compare it to real world circumstance, it would not be unusual for a captain to be married or have some long term relationship. Could be a polyamorous
Cisco
relationship in the future. Yeah, Cisco was married.
So Picard killed his. Getting back to our topic, Picard.
So what were you saying was weird about this show, Jesse?
I don't think I was saying.
Yeah, you said Picard's like one of the weirdest Star Trek shows.
Oh well, just because of the territory it handles and the places it goes and the sort of psychological places.
Yeah,
psychological drama.
In the speech, Picard says like, you know, many people say there's the final space is the final frontier, but it's actually time. But like, you know, maybe it's the mind, man.
I mean, we see a lot of Picard.
The mind is deeper than the deepest ocean.
And his emotional state in the first season, you see like, you know, Picard's like depression
all the people
we're totally exploring Picard and his mental state.
And the other people too, they're all broken people. Seven is broken.
Rafi
is broken. This is Rios is broken.
Rios.
And a lot of people have commented
Dr. Agnes.
That a lot of people have commented that this episode really fucking jumps out raring to go and everyone's this feels better, and it's because they're all on the healing path. They're all they're finding their place and they're all like, "Oh, this is rocking and rolling."
I think one of the criticisms of Picard, what people got freaked out about is they're basically saying this isn't the Picard we remember. This is a new Picard, and
it's not supposed to be the same.
Well, it's the second fucking season.
Well, no, I mean like the Picard.
In
the first season, the Picard is not the Picard we remember from TNG.
And it wasn't the story they were expecting. They were expecting more Picard adventures, not so many internal adventures.
What we were saying about this explores sort of the emotions and the mental state of Picard and all that. You can't do that without showing like the weaker side of a person or the more insecure side of a person. Yeah. And I know Picard always put up this front like he was, you know, super, you know, in touch with himself and, you know, awesome on every fucking way. But you can't have a whole show. I mean, I'm not going to say you can or can't, but short of making this just TNG part two, how can you have a show focused around Picard without getting a little bit fleshing his character a little more? I don't know.
I 100% agree, and I think I enjoyed the first season. There were some things that were a little hit or miss or a little goofy, but in the end, I thought it was a very entertaining arc, and it makes what appears where we think this arc may be going. Who knows exactly where it's going in season two, but season two and three. But having seen all that in the first season, I think makes it feel stronger. You feel more connection to these various, I mean, obviously more connection to the characters because you know them and you know what they've been through to some degree.
Yeah. Picard is still all broken though because he can't with Laris. Laris was pissed at him.
Cheers, big ears.
Cheers, big ears. Yeah. I was waiting for that to be brought up. Yeah. Right. Cheers, big ears.
All right. Let's start at the start, right? Let's start at the start because we got to get moving.
That's the best place to start.
We didn't mention it yet.
Well, is it because the episode starts at the end?
Okay, we're doing two episodes this week because Paramount people in there, all
there's
their wisdom,
two
they're
Star
like,
Treks.
let's have two Star Treks on at the same time.
Is there the cartoon?
It's crazy.
It's not because of COVID. It's not because of COVID.
It's because they split Discovery in half, and it's a little frustrating because I'm enjoying the Discovery story, but they split this. It's a really, it's such an engaging tale.
They could have just kept going with it.
Suffered a little bit from
and
being,
it would have been over, yeah. And then they could have done Picard.
Maybe there were production reasons. Who knows? Whatever the thing is.
Is it Canada?
It's all good, but
well, it's not all good, but it's good enough.
Okay,
it's the best
turn of phrase, my friend.
It's just it's how it is, and how it's going to have to be. I think.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But yes, let's start at the beginning, which is also kind of
at the end,
towards the end.
And is the fact that the beginning is the end? Is that supposed to be? Are we supposed to go through some crazy time shit this season? Is that what this is going to be all about?
I don't think we have time for this.
Yes, no, we have to. No, for this we have time for because. For the
I didn't watch the preview of next week or the season preview.
Okay, all right. So there's a few steps that we have to, there's a few bridges that we have to cross.
I'm going out of order.
Let's walk.
First, I'm temporally challenged.
First, the teaser, the opening teaser. The opening teaser was similar in some ways to Cause and Effect. Right, where cause and effect, where you see the thing, or whatever, you know, there's a few of those where you see the Enterprise exploding, or some fucking terrible tragedy happening, and then it happens again. So they kind of reference that. Yes, I do think time travel. I think it's clear that time travel is going to be involved, even if you haven't seen the previews, because we do.
And don't you think that they did that on purpose? They split the, because there was no reason.
No, wait, I did see a preview.
There was no reason for them to put the end at the beginning, unless, I mean, sometimes shows do that for some kind of a
Pulp
stylistic
Fiction style.
Effect.
Just like a Pulp Fiction style.
Yeah, but Pulp Fiction, there was
Tarantino-esque.
There was a little, there was definite, that was. There's a very certain amount of care put in that in Pulp Fiction. Not saying that this was careless.
I think there's a tremendous amount of care put in it. There's a couple other things I observed that shocked me.
Well, okay, but I'm saying...
Shocked me to the core.
I'm saying...
The audience will find out later.
I don't think they just...
Later on in this episode.
What I'm just trying to say is they didn't just put the end at the beginning just because it was a cool... Because a lot of shows do that, and then they go 3 weeks earlier or whatever, you know, and then they go leading up to the point, and you always
48
wonder...
48 hours earlier.
And you always wonder why they use that tactic.
Well, they just put the beginning at the end.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is why do shows and movies sometimes do that where they have
to the end at the beginning.
They do that. They
exciting,
put the end at
buddy,
the beginning.
It's exciting. It's an exciting thing to
end.
Do.
But they start at the end and then they lead up to the end, which is the beginning of... Okay.
What did I say?
I think we both said the same thing.
Dan is just having... He's just having fun
with
words.
I'm messing with...
No, he's having fun with words.
I'm just... Okay, look. I'm saying
this is a podcast. People can't look at anything.
I can't. I'm just saying I think I agree with you. Is that they put care... They did it on purpose. They did put the end in the beginning. That they did sandwich that whole episode in that. And then they didn't just do it for a cool stylistic effect. I'm saying it implies... They did it because they're implying there's going to be some time shit going on.
Cool stylistic.
That's what I'm saying. They did it for a reason.
Yeah. Also, at the end of the episode, Q says you have to go back in time to fix the world. Well, I mean, that's basically what he said.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, after the fact, you can be like, oh, yeah, they did it like that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So, anyway, the beginning was cool.
I mean, it was obvious they went back and they did something weird because he switched places. Okay.
Yeah. I had a feeling it was Q.
Beginning is great because it is... It references sort of it echoes previous episodes of Star Trek that are popular and we're familiar with. It's great because it gets us right into the action and we are seeing all the characters we're immediately going to be interacting with. Okay, that's cool. It's great because we get to see some of the revisions to the production design in that we're seeing the Stargazer and the inside of the Stargazer. And this season they brought back Michael and Denise Akuda and Doug Drexler, who were, you know, they worked back on TNG, Deep Space Nine, all those. It invented L cars and all that. So they brought back the old school.
You're saying it has the sensibilities of the TNG stuff, but it was lacking the 80s carpet comfort of the Enterprise D in the
carpets
the
aren't coming
they didn't
back.
Have that
carpets were only ever on. They were on TNG and a little bit on Deep Space Nine.
Little bit.
Voyager had a little bit of that, but not. They didn't have that classic.
Now it's all shiny.
And I am willing as a veteran Star Trek fan.
You have to vacuum.
I'm willing. To live with the cognitive disconnect between, on the one hand, just loving and valuing and feeling comforted by that TNG Enterprise D carpeted set. I can accept that that's what brings me comfort, and I can simultaneously understand that in a sci-fi sense, in a reality sense, that would be so fucking stupid to have fucking carpet everywhere. Yeah. You have to vacuum all the time. I don't care if it's magic,
and
super
especially
future
with those
carpet.
Consoles catching on fire?
Yes, like, it's a fire hazard. It's not
good.
Might
as well have guns with bullets.
For accessibility, it's not great. You know, I mean, it's just an extra limit. It's an extra
more
barrier.
Like accessibility.
Oh my god! And you got to replace that shit constantly, and you get all that.
What
fur
happens when
and
you?
Hair
what
underneath?
Happens when you spill red Kool-Aid? It's all ruined.
And are they gonna have carpeting on down in Cetacean Ops? I hope not. That's gonna be all fucking moldy
City.
And shit. And not in the fun moldy way,
smelly.
Like mossy, cool, moldy. No,
like
no?
Cheese mold.
Come on, not
cheese mold.
The smelly.
They ain't making cheese mold down there.
So my point is,
not cheese.
I love this episode, but I was so impressed with the opening teaser, because it just fucking gets you right in there, and it hits you on all these points. Here's your characters. Here's the Stargazer fan, you know, service. Here's cool production design that is modernized, but is in the theme of TNG, etc. Evolved a little bit, mixed with some Lower Deck stuff. The new uniforms are looking super slick.
Right.
And you're all like, what is going on? Because all of a sudden everybody's on this like Federation fucking starship, like Picard's on there. Well, he's supposed to be like retired or whatever, and like Girardi's on there, and like she's not in Starfleet.
And we don't even see them at first because
we didn't know Rios was back. People. I didn't know Rios was back in Starfleet.
It's funny, real quick, it was funny that commenting on the uniforms, because I just occurred to me, like, it seems like such a silly thing to be like, yeah, and I really like their uniforms, but it gives me like kind of pleasure. I don't know what it is.
It should, because when it's done well,
it's the whole
awesome.
Thing, man.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
It's all about Rios was back. But we get right into it. You're talking about the scene where the very opening scene?
The very opening scene. Because we don't even start with any of the hero characters. We start with some Lower Decks type people who
only the hero
sandwiches.
We don't
know who these folks are.
Yeah.
That's not some
dude with weird,
that was on purpose.
Weird, like, face markings.
They were making an essentially overt reference to Lower Decks by showing us some characters who are sort of Lower Decks characters. We follow them through the hallways and then transition into the bridge to see what the fuck is going on.
There was a problem with that turbo lift.
Then we get to see the Stargazer explode and
or did it?
Zip zap zoop.
I had a feeling it was cute.
So we learned this whole opening scene is a Borg. Well, what looks like a Borg attack. It seems like a Borg attack.
It's cute.
They're playing it interesting.
The thing is that the Borg made unwanted advances on the Enterprise. The Enterprise was very clear. They put up their shields, and the Borg...
It's not the Enterprise, it's the Stargazer.
I'm sorry, Stargazer. You know what I'm saying. Stargazer. It's not
nerd.
That funny.
You are a nerd.
No, because nerd. I'm always thinking... I always say the Enterprise when I'm thinking about, like, Discovery or, like, any other ship. I'm always like, the Enterprise.
The heroes,
it's like, wait a minute, it's not the Enterprise.
So...
Clearly, it's not the Enterprise.
Right, okay, so the Stargazer, right?
Yeah.
Not right? The Enterprise.
Which is the name of this episode.
So they put...
So they put their
shield up. The Borg insisted on going through anyways. That's a violation. That's abusive. That's you're breaking down someone's defenses and going through.
The Borg
through.
Also keeps saying, there's no time. We don't have enough time. We're in a hurry. We don't know what's motivating them.
That's true. But it's still kind of like, hey, man, I said, don't, you're not.
Seven says they're Borg and they look like Borg, but. They also look different from Borg because the ship looks different. It looks Borg-ish, but
it looks
configured
like
differently.
A spider Borg. Yeah. Spider Borg ship. That's an awesome ship.
The person who beams
it's
over, who may or may not be the queen, I don't know exactly what the deal is.
But do you think that's
wearing,
a good...
They're wearing like a cloak
do you think
and a crazy
a,
helmet.
Do you think
some kind of Sith.
Do you think that's a good message to send across, though, that somebody who's going to break down your defenses
of
is going to be a good
of
person?
Of course not. But perhaps the theme of this season is going to be, which is similar to Discovery's in some ways, finding ways to overcome that one last difficulty, and with Picard, one thing he would have to, it would be interesting for them to explore the idea of him overcoming his hatred of the Borg for what they did to him and what they did to so many other people, and finding a way to make peace with the Borg. I mean, it's wonderful that Janeway defeated the Borg and effectively neutralized them. That's great. What's one better than doing that? Making peace with them, and that's a very Picard style thing to do.
Well,
so
that was
because there's bigger shit out there besides the Borg, and
yeah,
like,
there's species
the Borg's
8675309.
Exactly,
right.
If the Borg's on your side, then that helps.
Wasn't that that was Girardi's line? Was that right, Agnes Girardi? Right.
That's her name.
So usually the Doctor Girardi, right?
Dr. Agnes Girardi.
So usually the controversy in a show or a movie is that there's this super energy source and people are talking about how it could be used as the greatest weapon we've ever seen, and that's the controversy about the episode. The controversy about this episode is that they have this Borg species and they could not be the greatest weapon they have of all time, but they could be the greatest ally of all time.
Not alloy.
Not
like alloy. A Borg might find calling them an alloy offensive.
An alloy from Horizon Zero Dawn's video game.
Ahoy, ahoy.
So the point I'm making is just, the controversy is not about making a big weapon. It's, should we befriend these fucking people that have always done us wrong? You know?
At least that's what it appears to be. And the way this was set up, the way they had the Borg keep saying, oh, we don't have enough time. We're out of time. We want to negotiate.
They go, we need power.
But power could be interpreted
like when you're on a hoverboard in the middle of the water.
Exactly. It might not be power as in systemic control over the social, economic, political systems of a group. Power could just mean energy. They literally need energy, and I would not be at all surprised in traditional Star Trek fashion if that's what happens at the end of all of this. Is it turns out that that's they're about to save the universe by sucking the power out of all the ships.
Do you think this season is going to be a journey basically back to this point again?
I think they're going to go back way further back in time. But I've also seen the previous.
But I mean, by the end of the season, do you think it's going to end up kind of back at this point again?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think they'll make a different decision.
Yeah, somehow. But it'll come back to this. Well, we're not going to find out what the Borg are up to until the end. That's the mystery. Yeah. They're going to have the whole season is, what are these Borg up to?
What are they up to?
Because I thought it was intriguing because...
What are they up to?
The idea of the when it was introduced, how they were saying, a species that can open and close a hole in space-time wants to join Starfleet and they want to talk to you. Like, that's pretty awesome. And thinking like, wow, what this idea of like, what if the Borg and Starfleet join up? That's totally awesome.
Technically the Federation.
Federation. Did I get my words mixed up?
You were saying Starfleet.
I didn't mean to do
that. I just am fending off the future letters.
But,
letters and emails that will come in.
In droves. At the end of the episode, it seems like they're doing a bait and switch, right? Because, first of all, it was like a video game, how awesome that was, like a boss in a video game. Yeah. That, when they're shooting all the lasers out at people and doing
that
all
that. Boss.
That was boss. But... It felt like a bait and switch, obviously, because it's like, oh, they don't want to be friends. They just want to do their normal Borg tricks. But like you said, we don't know yet. So maybe it could be a double bait and switch. But like I said, it's just tricky because the idea of the Borg joining Starfleet, how are they going to come up with a good...
Federation.
How are they going to come up with a good reason for Borg joining the Federation? That seems a little absurd.
We are cool.
That seems a little absurd, but I mean, maybe, but it could be cool. But... all of that was upended, though. He's got these two questions. It's like, was it a bait and switch? Was it not a bait and switch? And then, like, Q comes in and just upends the whole thing, and you don't know what to think, So I thought that was a pretty good... I like how Q just pops in,
And I was thinking it was going to be Q, and I was, Yeah. Picard had that look on his face, like, right at the end before everything went kablooey.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all excellent points. When we come back, we'll discuss whether or not and to what degree Patrick Stewart's history of dealing with abuse in his family informed this season. We'll be right back. And we're back! Welcome back.
My name is Dave Wilmots.
What I was referencing before the break was going back to what you all were talking about with Captain Picard's or Admiral Picard's mom.
Admiral.
In the flashbacks.
His mom.
So we see evidence.
There's that crazy room in
that that Jean-Luc Picard was raised with an abusive father, who either abused him or and his brother,
but there was that quick scene of the mom being dragged away by something that seemed like it was extra human.
That's why his brother's like kind of a jerk too.
Yeah, maybe the dad hired some creepy alien with tentacle arms to fuck around with her. I don't know. The point being is,
doesn't matter.
Other than the mom being grabbed by the monster thing, which I admit is
it's a tangent.
A little bit confusing.
It's off topic. I get it. It's
a little bit confusing. It's not off topic. I'm just saying, let's pretend it doesn't exist for the moment.
Okay.
Because all the other stuff is, you know,
let's focus.
Young Jean-Luc at one point, you know, his mom is trying to talk up how cool the area is. And young Jean-Luc is saying, like, you know, will you fight less here?
Mm-hmm.
And his mom is like, well, yeah, maybe. But if we do yell at each other, blah, 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 just look at the... She's basically saying, when your dad is like trying to beat the fuck out of me, just look out the window and try not to pay attention to it. Which is fucked up. The form of mother's protection over a child takes. The reason why I mentioned it before the break is that Patrick Stewart... has talked about in interviews how his father was abusive, particularly to, and often his mother would end up taking the abuse in place of Patrick Stewart himself, and that he had a lot of guilt about that. And he also talks about how when he was growing up, he was really reserved for a while because he was so afraid of turning into what is, you know, a violent person like his father was, to the point where he was getting scolded once when he was in a play where he had to play kind of like a maniac. And the director was upset because he was like, you don't seem like a maniac. And Patrick Stewart was like, I thought if I even pretended to be like that, it might trigger something horrible.
Yeah. No, it's fucked up when sort of your baseline is skewed as a child in those ways, because you literally don't know what is reasonable.
Yeah.
You know,
there's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that they're feeding a lot of that Patrick Stewart story into the story of a young Picard, it seems, because they've clearly set up something about his father being an asshole. And they've hinted at that before, but this is a more acute version of it.
Not a meat cute.
not cute.
Definitely not a meat cute. Although after Picard is having his little flashbacks, there is that meat cute. It's not a meat cute technically, I know, but the whole Laris and Picard thing. What did you think of that?
First I wanted to comment how they made Picard look like a newsie or something, you know.
he's got a French, he's got the little French cap on.
Yeah,
he's
a little Parisian.
But that's France.
It reminded
man.
They always
Paris have, boy.
As Picard as a kid looks like
he's
some
got a bicycle with baguettes hanging out the back.
Yeah, so there's Picard.
He's got a rat that lives under that hat.
Picard got a pack of brie.
Does math
Picard,
for him.
Picard as a kid looks...
Not all the rats are good at cooking. Some of them are good at math.
Picard,
some of them are good at engineering.
See, this is why I yell. You drive me to yell. Thank God it's nothing worse.
Oh yeah, I forgot. This is a short podcast this week.
So
we don't have time for this.
Something
we
about
to the information.
Something about Picard. That's why I fucking talk so fast, is I want to get in my fucking point before you guys start going off the rails.
We're off roading.
Picard as a kid, they always make his environment look like somewhere between a mix of the late 1800s and early 1900s.
Like Charles Dickens.
Yeah, like in Generations with that.
Right. I know. It's
in the
like
Christmas scene with all these weird dolls and these wooden horsey things.
It's the 24th century, like, and they still have like domestic violence and shit.
Well, I was referring more to the decor. I was talking about.
I mean, actually,
I
into the domestic violence more than the decor. I'm with Dan on that one in the sense.
I think domestic violence is something that kind of like
sadly,
lives on.
I buy more into the decor because everybody's just going to be like, it's this region. We're going to keep it up in a historical fashion.
I mean, I guess there is an 80s thing going on right now, so why not?
1980? No, I think they're into the 1990s now.
Are they into the 90s?
I think all the kids are doing.
So we just set the years back 30 years, and now
like
it's going forward.
They're all listening
Nirvana
to they're listening to Nirvana and Stone Temple Pilots and shit like that.
So it would be like if we all wore powdered white wigs around town now. That's what it would be like.
We should do that. Powdered white wigs. That would be too old.
Like harpsichords.
Yeah, but that's what it would be to them, because they're in the 23rd century or whatever, and they're some acting like they're in the 1900s, and so that would.
I got what you're saying.
It would be before powdered wigs. It would be some kind of weird stuff. What did they do back then?
helmets. They had helmets.
They had helmets.
This is not in my area of expertise.
Okay, so
this is outside of my ken.
Oh, your what?
It's beyond your bailiwick.
It's beyond my bailiwick, outside of my ken.
I've never heard the latter. I've heard the former.
All
right. But yes, Laris. So the way that Romulans work is they're promised to each other.
Okay, you're about to. This is. You know that? Have you ever read that subreddit? Not How Girls Work. You're about to get into some not how you're gonna get posted into some not how Romulans work.
Well,
you're all like truth to the way
that
the
sounds
way,
bad.
The way Romulans work.
Yeah, I guess I set that up for failure. Okay, so the way
see, this is how it works.
This is how I'm
telling you how it works.
Lara said outright, she goes, Romulans are promised to each other as kids. Okay, this is a better way I'm wording it. Thank you for pointing that out, Patrick. I learned something from you today. So here's the deal, right? They're promised to each other from birth, but when their spouse dies, they encourage people to, you know, get back with each other again. Yeah. How would they have that kind of emotional and sexual freedom if they've only ever known one person? You know what I mean? It's kind of like...
Well, no. She didn't say get back together with other people. It was just go get married again or go get into another relationship.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm not saying she goes... I'm saying...
I guess I'm confused by your question. I don't understand how not being partnered with one person would prevent you from...
Well, they brought it up as if it... Because we do the same thing. I mean, presumably when somebody's spouse dies or, you know, they go and find someone else.
Sure.
That's
very common.
That's what we encourage that in this culture.
It's a human thing.
But they brought it up...
So you think Picard should have been like, Laris, what are you talking about? Everyone does that.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It's such a big deal, Laris. Right. Why are you making it such a big deal?
That's why I thought that maybe they had some... Romulans had some extra way they do it or something. It's like... Like, they're extra, like, let's fuck or something. I don't know. And it's like, you spent your whole life being betrothed to this one person, and suddenly you're like, let's fuck.
To me, the important fact conveyed in that conversation or that snippet of the conversation was not that they are cool with hooking up after their fucking spouse dies. It was this statement she made before that, which is that Romulans do not feel loss as strongly as humans. And that is an interesting variation on
cold-hearted bastards.
Before we've seen the extremes with the Vulcans and the Klingons and the Andorians, you know, the more extreme, you know, either yes emotion or no emotion on some scale or another. This is nice because it's a little more subtle. It's saying it's not that we don't feel loss. It's just that like we don't freak out quite as much as you guys seem to freak out. You guys are building pyramids and shit. You like really are like nervous about this whole death thing. And we're the Romulans apparently in their culture, they're more accepting of it. And they're like, okay, that was awesome. It's sad, but boom,
they're always killing each other.
Time to move on. So I guess that's what we're learning. And it was cool.
What was the name of
the name?
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
No.
Because his name was your name.
Who was the other Romulan, the one that she was married to? I forgot.
J'Vaan.
J'Vaan, right. So J'Vaan was sort of dropped unceremoniously from the show because...
Yeah, he died.
We never even got a goodbye statement. It's like suddenly they stopped being in the episodes. They were just like, okay, well, they're off doing something else.
Well, wasn't he like wrestling with some... He got blasted at the end of last season, but I don't think he died. He didn't die in... Did he die in that?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I think it was the kind of thing where they just kind of left it. It's like, okay, well, they're off over here in a while, here for a while. We presume that the Laris and... Jovert or whatever.
No, it's J'Vaan.
J'Vaan.
Jovert.
We presume that J'Vaan and Laris are back here, you know, at the vineyard, but they never come back to him. You know, we never come and confirm that they're still good. And the next time we come back to him was the beginning of this episode where it's like, oh, hey, Laris is doing all right. And it's like, oh, I guess he died, but we never got a proper goodbye out of that guy.
Maybe
you know?
He died of a Romulan heart attack.
Yeah.
It's not a regular heart. Right. It's a Romulan heart.
Do you think
a
Klingon heart attack attacks both hearts simultaneously? They probably don't even get heart attacks.
No, probably not. They just get big tummy aches. The gack was too old. It was too dead.
So anyways, yeah, that whole exchange between Laris and Picard, like that, they were having such a good night and it ruined. It's like they tried to make the night too good. I'm just saying, look, I'm just talking about that night. First of all, that view of the fucking orchard from their patio, that was an awesome view. Yeah. That would be so fucking...
The production design.
He's got a nice place.
Entire fucking episode blew it out of the park.
But
it was great.
So
gorgeous.
Yeah, it was. There was
gorgeous framing, and I'm going to talk more about the framing.
There was only one part where I thought the special effects looked a little phoned in, but only because it was in comparison to the rest of the episode.
There can only be one shot of
LA. If you look at the planets, they look a little, or look at the planets, look at the buildings.
The buildings.
They look a little smooth, and it's...
Hey, that's LA. LA's full of fakeness, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, it was a meta statement.
It's in the future.
But it's okay because everything else in that episode was done really well, blended. But Picard and Laris, they were having a great night. Picard was talking about, this is the best time of the year. I'm so happy. And then it just, they shot for the sun and they burned their wings.
Laris wanted to put it out there.
Yeah, but it's like, it took some, a night, they tried to make a night better. It's like they gambled and they got greedy. They should have just said,
or Picard's being a fucking chode. Come on, Picard. Come on, you're 100 years old.
It's like, do you bet all your money?
You're 100 years old. Laris is, as the Brits would say, fit.
Yeah, she is fit.
She is.
It's like somebody went to the casino, won $5,000, and then tried to double it up and lost everything.
I can vouch for the fact that Dan was not reading that off of notes. He might have memorized it ahead of time, but
what you just said about casinos.
Yes, it was. It appeared to be off the cuff.
It was completely off the cuff.
It appeared to be so. I'm just confirming it because it was such a fucking cogent point, much more cogent than the points we usually make. Yeah. That I wanted to, you know, that it's not a scripted thing.
Well, I appreciate it. I thought you said I just sound like I'm speaking fakeness all the time.
No, not at all.
Do I often sound like I'm reading from a script?
No. Sometimes you are, in fact, reading from the screen, and it's usually really obvious when you are, because you get all squinty. You're
all like, as the audience can't tell.
Right. Okay. Yes. So my prediction, and maybe this is a little out there, but I don't know. I think they've laid the clues for it a little bit. I think they're going to try to get Laris pregnant with Picard's baby.
Sure.
Romulans live a long time. Picard's talking about being the last Picard. Synthetic? He is a synthetic, but he's fully functional. So they might be able to work something out.
Well, I mean, they did definitely played it up.
He's in Starfleet. They probably put his sperm on ice for, you know, in case he gets irradiated.
If a Romulan, like, reproduces with a synthetic, like,
it's probably produces some rad new captain material.
So they showed the
Star Trek the next generation.
When Picard left all in a big hurry, they showed Picard running out the door, and then Laris was all, he, like, left her in the dust. And it was fucked up, man.
Well, he didn't know she was there.
So, but it's just kind of.
I think it was
symbolic, anyways. But yeah. I'm saying,
I think he probably thought she wasn't hanging around.
I think you're probably right. Like, they set it up so they have to get together at some point. You know,
and I think he needs to have a baby. Let me reverse that.
You're going a step further.
I'm not saying I think he needs to have a baby, but they might. They're talking. They're bringing back up this idea that Picard is the last Picard, which we last saw really delved into in Generations. Right? He made a big deal about that when his brother and nephew were horrifically burned to death for some reason. Why? Why would they do that?
Is that when he was going?
We will eventually. I think we do need to cover Generations on our podcast because that's an interesting.
It's been a while since we've done a movie.
It's a flawed.
We've only done one movie.
We've only done Star Trek VI. It's one of our most popular podcasts too, and one of our longest.
For good reason, it's a movie.
It's a good solid movie.
It's a good solid Nicholas Meyer film. Yes. So Picard. I think to me it makes sense. I mean, again, let me flip it and reverse it. It seems to me that that's the direction the story is going.
Mm-hmm.
That they are setting us up to remind us that Picard is the last of his line in his family, however you want to define that, however he's defining that. They're talking about legacy. They're talking about what is the final frontier.
He said so in his speech, yeah.
And he's saying the final frontier is time. I think that it's going to turn out the final frontier is like fucking love. Or having a child or something.
It's not like his mind, like I said earlier.
No, I don't think so.
Isn't that the final frontier is your own mind?
No, I agreed with you that could be a final frontier. Mm-hmm. I do not think that's what they're saying.
But do you think that the symbolism here is having a kid?
What I'm saying is if they did a sequel series to Picard, or maybe in the third season, if it turns out the actual final frontier is the mind, it's just going to be Picard taking a bunch of Klingon mushrooms and tripping out in one of those Klingon temples with a bunch of time crystals. He'll just be on Klingon mushrooms, grabbing at those time crystals, having all sorts of wacky ass. Mental adventures, it could be a good time.
Today I will grab this one.
Well, speaking of drugs,
tomorrow I will grab that one.
What was that line? There was some line about Spock said something.
Spock wrote a book. He gave a book written by Spock to Elnor in Starfleet Academy when Elnor was going on training missions.
Full Romulan.
because they probably knew that people would think of Simon Tarses from the Drumhead, which was the fella that turned out to be half Romulan,
yeah.
Sort of, or one quarter Romulan, I think. And that was, you know, he was scared, so he lied about it and said he was part Vulcan. Although I believe he was an enlisted person and so would not have gone to Starfleet Academy.
So yeah, in Spock's book, Spock writes, exhilaration enhances the absorption of knowledge. Whereas Picard says, in other words, live a little, but... In other words, do like speed, basically, right? We're talking about drugs. I mean, you think that the Klingons are doing some hallucinogenic crystals?
About drugs?
Because Spock says exhilaration. Exhilaration that? Enhances yeah. the absorption of knowledge.
Yeah.
So they're talking about doing speed. They're talking about taking drugs and doing speed and cocaine and shit.
No. You can be exhilerated by the experience, by the sheer.
Yeah, but they're they're implying that they can enhance it even further with drugs.
I do not think they're implying that.
Like, why would they not? Why would they stop at normal exhilaration? Why wouldn't they take it a step further with cocaine?
Why would they imply that?
Because Vulcans do drugs like that.
Are you thinking of Martians?
What makes you
expanse?
So sure that Vulcans are doing drugs like that?
Vulcans are doing cocaine and shit.
Cocaine.
They doing because like exhilaration enhances the absorption of knowledge.
It's such a crappy
exhilaration
planet.
Enhances the absorption of knowledge. I think that
exhilaration enhances the absorption of knowledge.
Wouldn't they be doing like Adderall? Or...
I think.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I think that can be any. I think it can be any type of exhilaration.
Oh, you think it's natural?
Okay.
You think it's illogical to do drugs?
Okay. I get what you're saying. I don't think that they're saying that.
I get what you're saying. It's just painful. To
Are
talk
you
about.
On drugs?
It's just really not going anywhere,
Are
and
you
we don't
drinking marijuana.
You're drinking marijuana. Okay.
Okay, so
You're talking about hallucinating. Picard should hallucinate on mushrooms.
You know, we were at one point we were talking about Picard and Laris, but I think we probably covered the majority of what we needed to cover there, right? Didn't we?
Yeah.
So when we come back, we will have other things to talk about, including the framing choice. They made some interesting framing choices.
Okay.
We'll get right to that when we get back from this break. We'll be
What's wrong with this guy?
I'm just going to break. We'll be right back.
You're not doing a good job of going to break.
All right, we're back from break. Everything is fine.
You almost had coming back from break, and you just fucked it up.
but the fact of the matter is, whatever the situation, whatever I'm dealing with at the moment, we are back from the break.
What are you dealing with, man? Sounds like something tragic over there.
I was just getting the giggles because it's Star Trek. You know, we got so much Star Trek.
It's overwhelming.
Oh my gosh, this guy. So by framing, like, were you talking about when Picard was looking out in the stars and then suddenly it zooms back out and it goes?
Oh no, I did like that. And then, but because that was a reference to the TNG opening.
Yeah, it was
the flying backwards through the solar system thing.
Well, it was funny because the planets. I like the effect of the planets making whooshing noises as they go by,
like the TNG opening.
Whoosh!
Yeah, it's straight up a variation on the TNG.
And the ship all goes like
intro stuff.
The ship doesn't go. The ship gets knocked away by the subspace.
No, in the TNG.
TNG. That what? Subspace rip looked like an Xbox. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
looked like an Xbox,
but cockeyed.
Yeah, cockeyed box.
Cockeyed Xbox.
So you weren't talking about that framing.
No, I was talking about if you watch this episode closely.
Shit, I should have done that.
As any good Star Trek fan will.
Don't gatekeep Star Trek, bro.
No, I'm not gatekeeping. I'm commenting. Everyone should watch fucking Star Trek.
But you were saying like you're not a real Star Trek fan if you're not watching.
I did
it
not
closely.
Say that. I did not. Well, I guess you know. I guess you could imply that.
I know. You didn't mean
from
that.
From an equation. Yeah, you're right. From the
equation.
The sentence.
I know you meant
equation.
It in
you
a positive
you
way.
You could. Yeah,
I know.
I'm just saying we're all nerds, and of course we're watching this. But they did an interesting thing, which was that. Picard, Admiral Picard, Jean-Luc Picard, this character we've known for a long time, that guy, Picard,
There's that song that's all like, it's the supercar, but Dr. Jean-Luc Picard of the United States Federation of Planets. Well, I don't think so. Everybody knows.
There's like the refreshments.
The world is full of stupid people.
I'm not familiar with that song.
It's like a 90s.
The refreshments.
Like the 90s?
Yeah. The same people that do the King of the Hill Jinx.
So, yes, the refreshments.
Who did the Friends theme song?
Some other people. Was that the refreshments?
Some other bozos.
So it was always the refreshments. No. Star Trek. Picard.
Star Trek.
We don't have time for this.
No time.
This is not a time.
There's no time.
The show might be about time, but we don't have time. No, the framing was...
The Rembrandts do the refresh... Or do the refresh. The Rembrandts do the Friends one. Okay, sorry.
All right.
Jean-Luc Picard.
What am I going to do with that knowledge?
Jean-Luc Picard.
Take up space.
Jean-Luc Picard.
I'm just kidding.
In this episode, for the majority of the episode... Every time there's a close-up shot of Jean-Luc Picard, he's framed on the left looking to the right.
Hmm.
And even in some establishing shots, although not all of them, but just up to for a huge chunk of this episode.
Is that a reference to Mario going to the right in Super Mario Brothers?
Maybe he's got a mark on the other side of his head.
Well, no, because here's what happens.
He's got a good side.
Here's what happens. When the Borg show up, that pattern starts to break down. And then when Q shows up, all of a sudden now Picard is on the right side of the screen looking at the left.
Mm.
And I think what they're doing is making us sort of get cozy with Picard always being on the left, feel cozy. Okay, Picard is comfortable. He's a healed person. He doesn't have to deal with his eremetic syndrome and all that. And he's got the artificial heart and all that stuff. You know, all these people are healing.
All these people.
They're healing these people after the first
healing
season. They're all healing up. They're feeling good. You're feeling comfy. Picard has time to worry about things like falling in love with the lady who works for him.
Yeah, right. And she's all mad at him because he won't.
And yes, I guess that was my main point, is that I think they're making you feel comfortable with him in that framing, mm-hmm. and then they start, when the story gets jarring, they start putting Picard on the other side and flopping him around a little bit and making him feel a little bit more
I didn't watch it that closely. I want to go back and
put your eyeball right up to the screen.
Right up to the
right
screen.
Put your retina right up to the screen. With these modern LEDs, it won't be any kind of problem at all.
So
take that to the bank.
The whole opening scene with Picard's vineyard. I remember that word now. So he had. I like the idea that they were transporting grapes out. I don't know. For some reason, I like that. I thought that was fun.
I love that.
But that brings
and
of course
the labels all like went like.
Yeah. Zzz. Now were those labels replicated or transported? And did we ever decide that what the difference between a transporter?
Well, it's very similar.
Yeah, a transporter and a replicator are like almost the same thing, right?
As far as I'm concerned, it's almost the same thing, and I get them mixed up in my mind.
Yeah, my mind. So
earlier podcasts. I've like meant to say one word and said the other.
And then I remember that we also the episode with DS9 where the people got trapped in the DS9. They went to the holodeck, the holosuite. And the holosuite somehow played in the transporter.
Our man to share.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That was a good episode.
A funky episode.
But so the opening, I like how it brings me to ask the question of, it doesn't beg the question. It brings me to ask the question.
That's begging the question.
It brings me to ask the question. What
begging
is
the question is when the conclusion supports the assertion or whatever.
Like,
no, Dan, you're right. You're right.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
So
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying you're right.
In the future, in Discovery, they can just transport whenever. And remember, we're supposed to believe that transporting's still not super awesome enough. That awesome back then, but
they keep speeding it up.
They keep
TOS
speeding
was
it up.
Super
yeah.
slow, and then TNG was.
Now they can just transport grapes around wherever they want,
and it's pretty quick.
Yeah, in Picard, it's pretty heavy. So
and apparently, maybe I don't know if I'm misconstruing, but it seemed to be that they were transporting the grapes, and then transporting wine into the bottles and then
transporting the labels onto the bottles.
It's like
of
the
wine.
Fermentation happens in an instant in the process.
Right.
I don't know, but they also have wine barrels.
Yeah.
So do they age this shit at all? What do they do?
And they had people, but they also had collector robots. Like, why do they need people if they already have the collector robots? I don't know.
And there was like a flying robot.
Oh, I guess the collector robots were transporting the grapes into them, doing the fermentation in those flying robot things. Yeah. And the people were doing some dirt work or something. I don't know.
We got to learn work. More. We got to learn more.
I
want to
know how
this.
The Chateau Saint Picard works.
Chateau Saint Picard. I don't think it's Chateau Saint Picard. I think it's just Chateau Picard.
I don't think so. Okay, so we zoom out and we see the USS. Is it the which is the USS Avalon?
I think this is the Avalon.
Is it the one that gets all like
the beginning part
messed up?
Gets all messed up,
and they're all like Starfleet.
I liked how
Starfleet. What's up? There's a spatial anomaly out here. What are we gonna do about it?
I always love the different takes they have on what a spatial anomaly, like a rip in subspace, looks like. This one, it looked like a spider web being torn asunder.
Because there's always different stuff.
Yeah.
Where are these people coming from? Who knows?
This looked like a giant spider web.
Like you said, like an Xbox.
An Xbox turned into
cockeyed Xbox.
That turned into a giant spider web that got ripped apart.
Sure.
Sure. So we go on the boat, we get on the boat with Seven of Nine. What's the name of that boat?
The boat, you mean the La Serena?
That's Serena, that's what it is. I couldn't remember the name of that boat.
It's a ship. Why do you keep calling it a boat?
Because I said it by accident and went with it. Spaceboat, coast to coast?
Like aliens, alien style. He was like, hey, get on that boat.
Get on, because they're always talking about spaces and should be like the Navy, but it's really the Air Force or is this the Space Force.
All right, so Seven
what was
kicking the ass of some pirates with Emmett, the hologram, right. Who appears to be a it appears that Seven may have squished all the holograms into one.
Yeah, she said that, right. And they did appear.
Squished them all into one, so she's just hanging out this one Emmett.
I forget, is Emmett supposed to be like, is that based on Rios? Because it looks just
yes,
like,
it is it based is. On
I couldn't
it
remember
is Rios.
I couldn't remember
they were
how
all
last
Rios
season.
Because yeah. Rios was crazy.
That's
he
right.
He created a bunch of he reprogrammed
that's
the emergency
right.
engineering hologram okay. and all that emergency all of them he programmed to look like him because he was crazy.
I couldn't remember how that all went together
this
last
guy
season.
Was broken in the yeah. mind.
That's right, he was all broken.
But through the course of events that happened over season one, he was healed.
He became unbroken.
Now he's all set.
Now I forget who dated Agnes. Did he date Agnes?
I think he was flirting with her a little. I think they were getting it after the whole murdery thing.
After the whole murder. That's when he was like really turned on. It was after thing. That whole murder
this
situation.
Was a problem a lot of it's people like, had.
This girl's not scared of anything.
Yeah, in the first season, there were some people who complained that Agnes had murdered a person. And appeared to not be punished for it. So, yeah. Of course, in this episode...
Again, explaining to the audience.
We get some exposition, but because it's cute exposition, it's delivered with a bit of a breaking the fourth wall, you know, a little twinkle in her eye about like, okay, everyone's mm-hmm. been complaining. Got the alien stuff going on up here. Starfleet was like, you're cool. And guess what? Starfleet has done that a million times before. Geordi tried to kill some Klingon guy, and he was under Romulan control. He didn't get put in jail for that.
Barclay tried to take over the ship.
That's
in
right.
Nth
in the Nth Degree, which we talked about not too
which
long
I talk ago, about right? all the time, apparently.
Yes, you did mention it last episode. That's a real heavy case of recency bias, where it's like, that's the last
I don't know, something
episode of Star Trek you watched.
Something about when I saw, I've seen that episode before, but when I saw it this most recent time, for some reason it hit me harder.
It's really
I don't
affected
know.
You?
Yeah, it really affected
that's
me.
That's great. That's why we're, that's what we're in this business for.
Yeah, it's just a,
the business of cast.
Yeah.
Podcast.
I'm not saying it's the best episode or whatever, it's just for whatever reason it hit me just right.
That's cool. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, speaking of, so that exposition happened when that dude was trying to flirt with her. He said something about her hands created something. What did she, did you get that?
Because Geordi was involved in the development of Soji and.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see what hands could create such a wonder. Okay, yeah, these are a bunch of bits
and pieces. She was an android positronic roboticist.
Yeah, that's
androidicist.
Right. See, I have all these gaps in my memory from last season, and I really should have watched the whole first season over again because it's like I can't remember stuff as well as I used to for some reason. So,
did you dig the fact that they were hanging out with some Deltons? From the first, when was the last time you saw Star Trek the Motion Picture? Been a while.
God, it's those been decades. Deltons?
They were Deltons. Decade. They were Deltons, and highly recommend to get the Blu-ray version. I think they're releasing the director's cut in Blu-ray. Some people prefer the director's cut because it's tightened up a little bit.
Is it shorter?
I think it may be
usually
one of those,
it's longer.
But I think it might be one of the rare director cuts. I could be wrong, but it might be one of the rare ones where it's. Mm-hmm. I just know that the scenes are a little tighter, but you know, your mileage will vary. But I watched the original motion picture, the regular theatrical cut, not too long ago. And so it was cool seeing a whole table full of Deltons.
On Raritan 4.
Yeah, even though that's not where they're from, but I guess they're just hanging out at this this new planet that we haven't heard of before.
Yeah, they were all sitting at that hoity-toity aristocrat meeting or whatever. Isn't that kind of like, it was all like, everyone was all fancy?
Well, yeah, and I think part of that was just because they were Deltans. Yeah. And they're supposed to be like the most beautiful people ever.
Yeah,
I think in the motion picture, they talk about how they have to like take an oath of celibacy to hang out in Starfleet because otherwise, like, they want, everyone will be distracted.
Oh, man.
It's kind of ridiculous.
So,
but it worked out here. I did enjoy the interaction between Jurati and Dr. Jurati and this Delton, because her being kind of three sheets to the wind,
yeah,
was funny.
The, at the meeting, what's her name? Soji, right? She mentioned that the
Soji or Daj? I always forget which one. Which one was the one that died? Is Daj the one? That's where I'm feeling. I'm lamenting. I don't have a recollection of which one, because it's sort of fucked up to not be able to tell the difference between two completely separate androids just because they look similar.
Yeah.
It's a fucked up thing to do.
Well, maybe that's not our fault.
No, it is our fault, but we can correct that.
Okay.
We'll look it up at some point.
So she mentioned briefly that the Starfleet had ended a ban on synthetics. Now, yes.
That happened presumably after the end of the last season.
Now,
when the synthetics were instrumental in helping defeat
This is a tricky situation, and it's obviously, I guess, one that they kind of brought up initially. I guess it was either explicitly or implied. How banning synthetics, the reason you're doing it is because you want to prevent unethical experimentation on humans and stuff, right? Isn't that why you ban synthetics? Because you don't want people to be, like, fucked with and sold and turned into... You know, I don't know. What is the motivation for banning synthetics?
The Federation's motivation for banning the synthetics was because they were able to be hacked and used against the Federation in a terrible
catastrophe. And so it's exploitative. That's kind of what I was getting at, is that you're trying to prevent exploitation of humanity and things like that. So, but at the same time, there's already going to be synthetics that exist, and what, you have to take away their rights?
Take care of them?
No, not take care of them.
Just show her a good time.
It's good.
That's a Pulp Fiction reference.
It's good that they got rid of the ban on synthetics, because just because you're synthetic obviously doesn't mean you should be treated less than human. And even though that wasn't their intent, it's probably a side effect. It's like these synthetics are banned, and then people are probably going to be prejudiced against them. Yeah. So it's good to take the ban away. But then at the same time, it's like, well, now they're opening themselves back up for abuse on the. So it's which way do you go on that one? You know, banned synthetics or not banned synthetics?
I presume that's part of what they're doing, is going around. We don't see much here, except we can get the impression that this is basically a diplomatic mission to get people on board with, hey, synthetics are not necessarily some evil, horrible monsters.
Like X-Men, like mutants.
Yes, similar.
X-Men.
Yes, sure. Sure. No, for real, it works. That's 100%. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
All right. So, how about Picard and Guinan? Was fun to see Guinan again.
Yeah. Do you think that's all we're going to see of Guinan? Is that all we can?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see some more down the line in some fashion or another. But even if that's all you get, it was. Again, it was contextually made so much sense. It was Picard was having some issue in his life that he needed advice, and who was he going to ask for advice on this particular issue? It happened to be an issue of his heart. Whether he wanted to consciously ask her about it or not, he felt compelled to go speak to the one person he'd be able to actually have this conversation with.
Yeah, the only person he could have a real conversation with.
Can you imagine him like calling up Riker and being like, man, I don't know what to do. This chick is into me, and I don't know what to do. And you know. He knows what Riker would say, so he wouldn't necessarily trust the advice.
I like the look of Guinan's bar. It looked like a real bar. Ten Forward looked like some fake synthetic. Like, what's there? There's nothing there. It's just a bunch of nonsense. But this looked like a real bar. So I guess Picard brought her some mid-grade shit, because she was like, this isn't going to do. Either we're going to get the top shelf.
No.
Or the hooch. No. And so, like, it's either the best or the worst. It's what she said.
I'm going to argue a different position. I'm going to argue that you may have misconstrued what was going on.
No, I didn't.
There are two separate transactions going on. Transaction number one, Picard is bringing his own wine from his own vineyard as a gift to an old
friend. So you're saying they wanted something stronger? Then why didn't they just say that?
The wine, they did say that. And when he was saying this is for your private reserve, she got to make that silly
joke. The line she says is, so this, as lovely as it is not going to cut it. So top shelf or hooch. So you're just saying that the wine's
not going to cut it because it doesn't have enough alcohol in it.
Fine. I'll take that.
And Top Shelfer Hooch is simply,
yeah,
what mood are you in? Yeah. And he was in a hooch.
He's
mood.
I'm in a hooch.
I'm in a hooch mood.
Hooch.
Hooch mood.
Hooch.
Hooch. Yeah. One other thing. I guess we're creeping into odds and ends already, right?
Yeah, wow.
I noticed he took a long look at that Howard Avenue Historic District sign. And I think that we're going to see them go back in time. And kind of like Back to the Future, we're going to see a sign that says something like the Howard Avenue, like Sanctuary District or something. There's going to be some parallel between, because they showed him lingering on that sign. Did you see, you know what I'm talking about? There was like that plaque on the wall.
Oh, right. Right before
he gets to 10, you know, Guinan's bar, mm-hmm. There's that plaque on the wall and he's all like, he doesn't read it out loud, but you can read it. It says Howard Avenue Historic District. I'm calling it. I'm predicting that that's going to come up.
That's going to come up later. I mean, yeah, why else would he look at the plaque? I mean, that's a good point. Like, why would he look at the plaque unless something came of it?
I think if they were just, because they already told us they were like in Los Angeles or whatever. Mm-hmm. They don't need to give us any additional information. So
that's it. Howard Avenue is going to mean something later.
I think so too.
Q
is cute at any age.
Yeah, although it was unsettling seeing him de-aged. Yeah, that was a little unsettling. But
it was pretty rad.
But it was. But he's looking good. John DeLancey's looking really good.
Yeah.
I guess so. Rios's catchphrase is "Dale," which means "Go ahead," basically.
Yeah.
That's what he says before he goes to warp.
And then make it so. He had to like, you don't need both of them, but it's cool.
He just said that.
All the captains get their own, you know, let's fly,
I think the reason he said make it so is to let, in case the audience didn't understand what he was
warp
meant
me.
By Dale. Yeah, warp me. Let's fly. I thought the music had more of an, has more of an adventurous feel than Discovery's music. I like that, actually.
You mean during the episode music,
yeah, during right? the episode, yeah.
Because I wasn't 100% feeling the intro music.
Isn't that what you were saying last season, though?
I wasn't 100%. I mean, the intro music, I liked it, but it wasn't hitting me in my heartstrings. Mm-hmm. And in this season, I recognize what they've done. They've sort of made a somewhat more mysterious, ominous version of it.
It's weird that they changed the music.
Well, it's less, it's the exact same tune, but whereas in the previous season, it was more pastoral.
Yeah.
In this episode, it's more, film noir almost.
So did the music from first season one ever grow on you, or are you always kind of like?
I like the themes and I like when they show up in the show. I'm just saying the theme music, I like it from a just an intellectual sense. I enjoy it, but it doesn't grab at my little, it doesn't tug at my little heartstrings or what have you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like the Discovery theme does that. Lower Decks grew. Prodigy, not at first, but it grew on me. Mm-hmm. And then now Prodigy is like humming through my head sometimes. And it's sort of like,
it's turned out to be a pretty solid show, actually.
But in Picard, the actual music throughout
the
score, I think is pretty excellent.
Yeah. So Discovery, I like the music, and there's a lot of, good music in a lot of episodes. Sometimes, like I felt with this past episode, it was a little bit trying to tell me how to feel at times. Yeah. It was like, oh, really emotional. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to feel really sad, which I understand that soundtracks are supposed to evoke that kind of effect, but it's like, if it's too obvious, it just seems.
Did you catch there was a little, they had a little first contact at one point.
Oh, and
not TNG. It was at one point when they were standing in with Elnor.
Yeah, you know what? I did remember there's like some familiar music.
Little of that first contact music, and probably some other things as well. Definitely some TNG cues in there. Adventure cues.
Yeah, I liked that adventurous feel. Speaking of Elnor, so I was wondering if Patrick Stewart is really short. He's not. He's 5'10". And fucking Raffi is taller than Picard. Mm-hmm. And Elnor is even taller than Raffi. Like, those are some tall people. Did you notice that? Look at that. They're tall. Yeah. I didn't remember Raffi was...
What do you think about this? There's tall people.
Who are these tall people? This is the future. Everyone should be the same size.
They might be wearing bigger boots, too. Who knows? Who knows?
Anyone can be a different size, though, because you got programmable matter.
Did you catch at the end the Edith Piaf song that was playing right before it wasn't in the first time through, it wasn't in the beginning of the episode, but at the end of the episode, right before the explosion goes off, the self-destruct explosion goes off, there's a moment where Edith Piaf, I don't know the name of the song, but it's like a song everyone would know. It's this old French song that everyone knows. It sounds almost like a march, like an anthem. And it starts playing, And first of all, it was weird that there was that music playing, because it's not the kind of thing you would hear. It's like a song with lyrics, an existing song, an existing recording even, not a rearrangement of it. So that's already odd to have that on the soundtrack. And then to me, it struck me that the people on the bridge heard it and reacted to it. So it was a diegetic sound, you know, it was in the scene. And so the idea of this French, proud French anthem type music playing right before the ship explodes and right before the Borg entity says, look up, you know, Captain Admiral Picard, look up. That whole business is so fascinating. I'm so looking forward to see where they go with that.
Yeah, I mean, if, like, between the look up and then what you just said, if they did actually hear the music, that's what you're saying? They
is Q playing a soundtrack?
Is that whole scene made up by Q from the start or something?
Is he just juicing it like a DJ making it sound a little bit more fun? Yeah,
but then why does the Borg Queen say, or whoever... Say look up, you know, like that. That's mixed with the music. Maybe the whole thing was made up, but we don't know. I'm
very interested. But that's a mark of some good storytelling when people are excited about the episode and excited to see what happens next and can't wait to see what happens next. I think it's really, really great.
And I mentioned this already, but I want to, sometimes like you want things to be slick and sometimes you don't, you know, and for whatever reason, I liked Prodigy, but at the first episode, that robot guy had this super weird gun that was all slick and it was kind of weird looking. It like reminded me of Star Wars or something.
First couple episodes were a little iffy, weird,
but
until it grew into itself.
So you could make that same argument about this Borg person, that it was too slick, but I really liked it. I thought it was super awesome.
Because it was different than what we're used to.
Yeah. And even Girardi plays the role, the audience goes, that's new.
She's like, that's new.
Yeah, so yes, Seven, speaking of Raffi, Seven and Raffi, were they a thing last season? I don't remember that.
Yeah, they held hands at one point, so there were some hints that there was some relationship building, and looks like they're going to take that slow, better or for worse.
Seven, they've really built up as this swashbuckling cowboy type, you know?
Yeah, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's
like a Han Solo, like the whole ship thing with, what was the name of his ship again?
The La Serena?
Serena, yeah. It's between the whole, it was like a whole Lando,
Calrissian?
Yeah, Calrissian Han Solo moment.
Solo?
Solo. Solo. Solo, I could only look up.
I enjoy that. I enjoy what they're setting up with her being the person who is most against the idea of any sort of detente with the Borg.
And when she also has the grievance that people treat her as if like she's going to do some of that. So she's got some real deep-rooted trauma.
And totally justified. And that's going to make it a fascinating potential story to see how they play it out. Time travel does appear to be something that's going to factor in here one way or the other. And so it's going to be fun to see what they do with that. So all in all, I thought fantastic episode, really exciting. I also think I know you already see people calling for a USS Stargazer spinoff. Mm-hmm. We know Picard, the show is only going to last one more season after this second season. That's just by design from the beginning. It's a 3-episode arc.
Not going to happen.
So,
what's not going to happen?
People are calling for
a Stargazer spinoff.
I would vote for
this. Very positive about this.
I think they want shows. I think, presuming people respond well to it, and I think they already have responded well to the idea of Rios as a captain on a Stargazer, and you know, there's some of the possibilities there. They could do something with that. We'll see how that progresses through this. I don't know if we're gonna see that much more of the Stargazer until maybe the end of the episode or the season, because it appears they might be you know, they're exploded, so
they're exploded. This whole episode is kind of set up like a Christmas Carol or It's a Wonderful Life type situation we got going on, basically, is how they set the season up, right? Didn't they say this is the end of the path not taken? Does that mean
if something different had happened?
Yeah, and so it's going to be like one of those, which could
you
be
get
cool.
Really giant Starfleet symbols, like hilariously oversized Starfleet badges.
Yeah, what was it that portrait of, was that Picard?
It was Picard.
It looked weird. He looked like Red Fox. Yeah, no, not Red Fox. Sorry, Red Foreman.
Red Foreman?
From
That 70s Show?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a similar painting of Picard in the regular timeline in a similar pose, except he doesn't look as sinister and he's wearing his normal uniform until instead of whatever sort of fascist uniform they put him in there.
When they were talking about how the Borg was going to send an emissary over to the Stargazer.
Did that make you think of Benjamin Sisko?
Yeah, did you think it was going to be, wouldn't it be awesome if it was Benjamin Sisko? What if that was the big reveal at the end? It was,
well, well, it's funny you say that.
Uh-oh.
Because in Captain Picard's or Admiral Picard's study on his table, where he has served his Earl Grey tea cold.
Nah.
He puts it down on this table, and there's a bunch of quote unquote junk on the table. Mm. But one of the main things on the table is, and I don't know if you remember, but there's that episode of Deep Space Nine where Sisko finds this tablet, like this old Bajoran tablet, and then he like breaks the tablet and like all sorts of, I don't want to spoil the story, but it's an important thing, and it's very clearly the broken pieces of that tablet that's from Deep Space Nine, from that story with Sisko.
Easter eggs.
Very important story in the Sisko mythos, the Sisko emissary mythos. So maybe just an Easter egg because Picard isn't interested in archaeology, maybe leading to something more. And I think we're going to find out next week, perhaps, just how well it connects to some other things going on in the old Star Trek universe.
They mentioned isolinear again. They said there was an isolinear fragmentation. Have they mentioned that other than that other episode?
They mentioned isolinear all the time. You got your isolinear rods, you got your isolinear chips.
But they don't mention isolinium that often.
No, isolinium, that's its own thing.
Yeah, that's weird. Right. It's weird how that works.
The last thing for me was just to mention, of course, I didn't want to forget that they mentioned the USS Hikaru Sulu, which presumably is named after Captain Sulu of the Excelsior, and of course, worked on the Enterprise for a long time under Kirk. The USS Grissom, which is in Star Trek III and is blown up, the old one, but so this is a new USS Grissom. And then, of course, the USS Excelsior, which, I don't know, is that a new Excelsior? Is it just the old Excelsior that's still around? Because the Excelsior started in the Star Trek III, and then it was all throughout TNG, they were using the Excelsior all the time in Deep Space Nine. So maybe the Excelsior is just like, just still trucking. Mm.
Oh, I had a question. When his special room, like that they all fixed up as a kid, apparently, did they just never fix it up? Because it was still dilapidated, like, into his adulthood, wasn't it?
Well, they painted it a little,
but it looked all fucked up when he was an adult.
Yeah, well, he was gone for a long time. Yeah. He was on the...
But I thought the rest of the
captain,
house...
You know, this guy was the captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah, the rest of the house looked fine, but there was...
He was also the captain of the Stargazer before that.
They definitely did it on purpose, because the rest of the house is fine. It's just that one room got all fucked up again.
I agree. I guess it was... They went for atmosphere over sensibility.
Well, maybe it's just like he has trauma with that room.
Good point. Yeah. I think that could be it. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I think that'll do it for us this week. Double header episodes. So this is the episode that covers Star Trek Picard season 2 opener. If you're watching Discovery, we also put in an episode this week covering episode 11 of Discovery. And next week, more Picard, more Discovery. All right. And It's Got Star Trek at It's Got Star Trek on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And you get the Apple Podcast, and you can do the Google Podcast, all the podcast places you can do that. Feedback at discussstartrek.com, www.discussstartrek.com. Boom, boom, done. Yeah, podcast is over.
We did it.
We did it. All done. 2 podcasts. All done.
There you are. I've been looking everywhere for you with a cup of what is now definitely Earl Grey cold.